And we give free products away to any family affected by autism. We give free seeds away and teach you how to grow it in your own backyard. We have educational videos. We have free consultations. It was really just about paying it forward because we remembered the pain in this and just the grieving that it feels as a parent when that happens to you. But, you know, obviously 2018 happened with the Farm Bill and things just went crazy. And so we're out here in Southern California and we're here to serve any way that we can. And yeah, thanks for having us on and letting us tell our story.
Welcome to the Miracle Plant Podcast, the show that inspires, promotes, and gives you a daily dose of inspiration from the people who have used cannabis to change their lives in extraordinary ways. Here's your host, Justin Benton.
Hey, welcome back to the Miracle Plant Podcast, where we discuss this miracle plant with so many names and how it's helping people in so many extraordinary ways. Well, guess what? We're going to have a throwback episode to the days of Clubhouse when it was red hot, white hot. We were staying up all night chatting all these great rooms and meeting so many great people. And I wanted to throw a bonus episode in here for you to hear some of the things, how far we've come, some of the things that we talked about on this particular episode, and wanted to make sure you guys got a chance to hear it. So have a listen, sit back, and happy healing.
Welcome to Know, Grow, Create with Cannabis. I'm Charlie Krebs, a canna dad, hobby grower in living soil, and a servant to the plant cannabis. Follow me every week on my journey to learn from the masters of our industry and get knowledge on cannabis and its array of uses and benefits. Get tips and tricks from heritage farmers and advice on how to grow your own personal plants in living soil. Then it's time to get creative and learn what we can make with all that beautiful ganja you grew from industry leaders. All this and more on Know, Grow, Create.
All right, welcome to Know, Grow, Create with me, Charlie Krebs. And today I have Justin Benton with me on the show, and he is the founder of 101 CBD. And funny enough, we have gotten to get to know each other over the last couple weeks on Clubhouse. And as we will probably get into more detail, Clubhouse has become just this really great way for all of us advocates and people in the industry just to have a channel where we can have an open discussion with like-minded people. And I was fortunate enough to be in a room with Justin, and his story really resonated with me. So I just had to invite him on the show, and I'm so glad he's here today. So without any further ado, here's Justin Benton.
Hey, thanks for having me, Charlie. So happy to be here. It's kind of crazy to be off Clubhouse, to tell you the truth. But we have a podcast too, The Miracle Plant, and I think my last four or five guests have all been from these incredible people like yourself that I've met on Clubhouse. And as we were talking before we got started, you know, so many of us in the CBD hemp cannabis space have had to kind of operate in corners because all of the main advertisers and the regular ways that people do business, you know, the Facebooks of the world and Googles, have really not allowed us to participate in marketing just like any other legal business would, whether you're selling lipstick or if you're selling, you know, any type of retail consumer product. And so it's been a real struggle because so many of us were meeting up at conferences. We've got a big conference coming up called NOCO, N-O-C-O, out here in Denver, Colorado, on March 25th. And that's how we would connect and collaborate and, you know, maybe meet, you know, wholesalers or, you know, big box retailers and things that would want to carry, you know, great products. And since that all shut down, we've all just kind of been twiddling our thumbs, and we made a big shift over to online and we upgraded some websites and did some things like that. But we were really struggling to get our message out. And all of a sudden, along comes Clubhouse, and just an absolute game changer where we've met so many incredible people like yourself and, you know, Dr. Lakeisha we just had on our podcast that we're releasing. And it's just been amazing. And, you know, all the collaboration and all the stories that have been shared and the genuine connections and just real genuine opportunities for people who are, you know, looking to share their stories and be a part of the solution in this amazing tent of cannabis and hemp.
That's great. And, you know, I couldn't agree with you more. The whole Clubhouse experience, it just has been wonderful. And, you know, that first week you're on, you're just addicted to it and just can't get off. But now I just love that it's kind of been that thing that I fill some, you know, empty time, or if I'm just doing some administrative work, I can hop on and have some great conversations. But, you know, the one thing that Clubhouse doesn't do, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show, is I want to hear more about your cannabis journey and what led you to where you are today.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, thanks. You know, about 6 or 7 years ago, you know, we were living a good life and, you know, we had the picket fence and our second child was born and everything was hunky-dory. And all of a sudden, my son kind of lost his connection and then lost his language. And, you know, we were playing catch and t-ball and doing all the things that you do with a two-year-old. And all of a sudden, he just kind of went into his own little hole. And so at first we thought, you know, dads tend to go into denial when there's something like that for whatever reason. And you just think, you know, it's fine. It's just a stage or a phase and we'll get through it. And then my wife went and got a diagnosis and we got a real shock to the system that he had a regressive order of autism. And so fortunately, my mom was a school psychologist for 40 years. And so she was able to, I flew her out here to California and got her diagnosis. And she said, yeah, Justin, there's a problem. And so we had our work cut out for us. When you get a diagnosis like that with your child, that there's special needs, you don't know what to do. You don't know if it's a life sentence. You don't know what you're going to do when you're not around anymore. Are they going to be able to live a happy life? Are they going to be able to take care of themselves? I mean, all of these thoughts go through your head. And so fortunately, like I said, I was raised holistically. We got him on a very clean diet, got his gut healthy, the microbiomes, you know, it was no gluten, no dairy, juicing, you know, organic kale and carrots and apples and probiotics. And with all of that and some therapy, you know, to get him to get his language, we had to teach him to talk again. We had to teach him to engage. Basically from square one, we were able to get his diagnosis down from severe to moderate. And of course, as the parent, you're not going to give up until you get your kid back. You're going to try everything you could. So came across some research that, you know, talked about, you know, Charlotte Fiji out there in Colorado that had that success with epilepsy and seizures, you know, Dr. Sanjay Gupta and CNN in 2013. And so I figured, what the heck, why not give it a whirl? You know, if it helped with seizures and autism, which is neurological, why not autism? I mean, there was nothing other than that, than just a hope that it might help. And so we tried some of the same products, some of the products on the market. We didn't really see the results we had hoped for, but I wasn't going to give up because it just made too much sense to me. So as I dug in and did more research on the extraction, on the plant, on the endocannabinoid system, I came across some research with Dr. Raphael Mishulam and Dr. William Courtney. And so Dr. William Courtney was the first person that ever showed me research and introduced the idea of raw cannabis juicing. And so that really clicked with me, coming from a holistic background of understanding whole plants and understanding how they work and live enzymes. And so I said, well, I'm here in California. It's 2014. I can grow cannabis. I can grow hemp legally. So I grew some. I was already a farmer. And we grew some high strain of CBDA and made a real simple cold extraction oil. My son was at a pumpkin patch having a terrible time, tantruming hens over the years, just kicking and screaming while the other kids were playing and picking out their pumpkin for the year. My wife, we gave him a tincture orally. Literally 2 minutes later, he snaps out of it. He goes out and he's out there playing with his sister picking pumpkins. And the grandparents are there and the aunt and the uncle were there. And they're like, what was that? What'd you give him? And that was just raw CBDA oil. And so that was the beginning of our journey. Fast forward to now, with a lot of CBDA, a lot of raw cannabis, a lot of great diet and nutrition, he is off the spectrum. And so we were obviously the answers to our prayer. So we set up 101cbd.org as just a platform just to teach and tell other people our story. Well, of course, and we give free products away to any family affected by autism. We give free seeds away and teach you how to grow it in your own backyard. We have educational videos. We have free consultations. It was really just about paying it forward because we remembered the pain and this and just the grieving that it feels as a parent when that happens to you. But, you know, obviously 2018 happened with the Farm Bill and things just went crazy. And so we're out here in Southern California and we're here to serve any way that we can. And yeah, thanks for having us on and letting us tell our story.
That's just amazing. And I commend you so much for taking the steps to take your son's health into your own hands and to do it in a holistic, you know, way. I think that's just so powerful. And you know, I can only imagine just the amount of emotions and stresses that put on you guys. So I'm just, I just feel so fortunate for you guys to have that story that has ended the way it has. But even more importantly, I love when people's intention starts from trying to heal a family member, but then ends up being some type of organization or business that becomes their life mission. It's just so incredible to hear that from multiple individuals, now including yourself, and not downplaying that anyway. I think it's really remarkable and powerful, and you know, it's a sacrifice. And I think it's just so interesting how so many of us have decided that no matter what we're going to do, we're going to fight for the advocacy of this plant and to help other people who might be in a similar situation to ourselves or completely different, but still hurting in some way, who hasn't found or at least tried cannabis in some modality to help whatever ailment they might have.
Absolutely. And I think the biggest thing that I noticed, so I was running other sales and marketing companies. I've been, you know, successful and all that good stuff. But when I saw the gap in communication and education, that's when it really hit me. And so I had a couple different office building properties that, you know, I just put up a sticker, I hung up a shingle and said 101cbd.org. I had one person in there. I said, you're just going to answer the phones. And if people come in, here's what you say. And then people just kept coming in. And this was before 2018 Farm Bill. And so when they would come in, at first they'd come in for pain, and then they'd come in for anxiety, and then they'd come in for sleep. And I thought, well, that's cool. And that's neat. And it helped them, and it was good. But then people started coming in. I can vividly remember for rheumatoid arthritis, for neuropathy, for cancer, for Parkinson's. And then we started hearing their stories. And I'll never forget the first time we had someone come in for cancer. And she's like, she was 75. She was a German lady. And she's like, look, I've been through chemo and I've been through radiation and I'd rather die, tell you the truth. She goes, I read about you guys's or about, you know, cannabis oil in general. And I'm going to try your oil. And this was the first time when I was like, oh my God, this is nuts. And so, and I was, you know, what are you going to say? We said, well, just obviously keep in touch with your doctor, your oncologist, and let us know how it goes. And I mean, I was nervous, and this was a few years back. And so she just kept coming back every month or so to, you know, get a couple more bottles of a stronger milligram. It was our 1600. And she just kept coming back, and she was in a good spirit. And, you know, we were almost nervous to ask, but, you know, she just kept coming back. And finally we were like, so, you know, it's been 3 or 4 months now. How's it going? And, you know, did you get any tests? And she goes, yeah, I went to my doctor and I have a clean bill of health. And that was when it really hit home for me. I was like, oh my God, like this has, there's a lot more to this than we thought. And so I shut down all my other companies. I sold them off. I shut them down. And I said, look, this is a lot. There's a lot more going on in this plant than I had any idea about. And there's so much misinformation. People are so confused about what's the difference between hemp and CBD and marijuana. What's the difference between cannabis? What is it? What is, you know, does it get me high? And all of these questions that we get, will I fail a drug test? You know, and then you've got, you know, a completely legal plant, just like corn and soybeans. But we have, you know, people like the FDA that are doing and holding us back from selling a product that would work. And there's, you know, the politics have gotten involved. And but the cat's out of the bag, because back in the day, there used to be doctors, would their line would be, well, there's not enough research, which we all know is BS. If you just go to PubMed.gov, you'll see thousands of research publications on all types of different cannabis, CBD, and THC studies for various ailments. And then after that, it was completely out here in California. The patients were going to the docs and saying, hey, doc, I'm not asking for your permission or your blessing. I'm telling you, I'm taking CBD oil and I feel great. And maybe you should look into it. And the problem is that the doctors, they didn't teach them anything on those exams about the endocannabinoid system. I mean, it's just a travesty when you look at it. So we're all about education. You know, I'm pen pals with Dr. Raphael Mishulam. He's still alive, the guy that first synthesized CBD in the 1960s. He was out here in 2019 talking about raw cannabis and raw CBDA and all the acidic precursors. Dr. Ethan Russo did all that great research with, you know, getting Epidiolex approved for the FDA. And the good thing about it is he's the one that came up with the endocannabinoid deficiency syndrome, meaning that every ailment and sickness that we have can be directly correlated to a lack of cannabinoids in your system. He's also the one that came up with the entourage effect. all of these things have been scientifically proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that this cannabis plant, you know, speaks directly to our body. So there's just so much that needs to be talked about. And, you know, us having these conversations on your podcast, brother, and us having these rooms on Clubhouse has just been amazing. And we have a lot of work to do, right?
Yes, sir. And on that note, I always wonder, in terms of this evolution of 101 CBD, what has kind of been that thing that you get on your soapbox and kind of educate people about, or constantly find yourself educating people about cannabis?
Well, again, it just comes down to the basics. Will CBD get me high? Will I fail a drug test? Those are kind of the big ones that people, it's just the fundamentals, because people are just confused. And we've been intentionally confused since 1937 when they passed the marijuana with an H act to make this plant illegal. You know, George Washington grew this plant. Thomas Jefferson grew this plant. This was one of the original cash crops of the colonial times. In fact, if you were a farmer back then, you had to grow hemp. You literally were forced by the government to grow at least an acre of hemp. You could also pay your taxes in hemp because it was so versatile. So it's just a matter of getting past that stigma, that reefer madness, that Hearst and those DuPonts that completely stigmatized this plant so they can continue to cut down trees and grow cotton with pesticides and way more water and you know, these unsustainable practices of topsoil farming and things. And, you know, we've got a lot of work there, and there's still billionaires out there that are fighting against this plant. There are dark powers that there's a reason why we can't advertise, you know, easily on Facebook and Google. It's because the billionaires and the billionaire club do not want people finding out that there's a plant out there that can help with, get this right, pain. Think about the drugs that are used for pain, the epidemic that went with opioids, anxiety. Think about the drugs that people are on for anxiety and for depression, and sleep. I mean, come on now. So that's worth, you know, they did $970 billion, Big Pharma did, back in 2019, the numbers I haven't seen for 2020 yet. So they do not want this out. Look, our mission is to tell you, you can grow this plant in your backyard like tomatoes. We'll teach you how to do it. We'll give you free seeds, and you can literally, spring is coming. Now's the time to plant them. So hit us up on our website. We have a free link to try the product. Get some hemp in your backyard, grow it, harvest it, throw it in your freezer, and then throw it in your juice every morning like kale. And you can grow it for the same price that you can grow tomatoes. And that's my real passion. And I know it's one of yours as well, Charlie, is teaching people how to grow this plant.
Absolutely. Well, on that note, in terms of the, I think something that I'd love for you just to tell our listeners a little bit more about is acidic cannabinoids. What is that? What is it all about? And how have you kind of turned that into a daily regimen for yourself and for your kids?
Well, yeah, thank you for that. So again, that was the breakthrough for us and our child. That was the one that really, the light bulb went off. And so we've always thought of, in our country for the last, you know, 100, 200 years, especially the last 100, that you have to heat the cannabis plant for it to be effective. Well, that's just not true. So the plant was grown a certain way, right? And it's been grown for a million of years on this earth. And this plant has over 100 cannabinoids in their acidic precursor. So when the cannabis plant comes out of the ground, originally it's mostly in what's called CBGA. So that's the acidic form of CBG, or what's called the mother cannabinoid. Now, based on the genetics of the plant, it'll veer to the left, and that'll become a CBD/hemp plant. Or it could veer to the right and become a THCA marijuana plant, is what we call it here, but it's all just cannabis. And there's also some strains now that are staying in that mother cannabinoid profile, which is CBGA. We have some of those as well. So when you keep the plant in the CBGA or the CBDA or the THCA plant, it's completely healthy. Nutritional. It's a nutritional supplement that speaks to your endocannabinoid system. And when Dr. Raphael Mashulam came out here for CanMed in 2019 in Pasadena, he showed that there has been studies out there that CBDA has been proven to be up to 1,000 times more effective. And this study was for nausea and anxiety as just isolated CBD. So understanding that the plant nutritionally is meant to be eaten. Now, look, if you're looking to experience the benefits of THC Delta 9, which is the psychoactive part of the plant, then yes, you need to put fire to it, or what's called decarboxylation. So, but if you ate the highest strain of THCA plant you could imagine, wedding cake, I don't care what you call it, Thai stick, Acapulco gold, Northern Lights, whatever you want to call it, 40% THCA, if you literally grew that plant, clipped it, and threw it in a juicer, you would not get high. You would get healthy. because there's a lot that goes on in that plant above and beyond just THC or CBD. There's flavonoids, there's terpenes, there's omega-3s and 6s and fatty acids. There's a perfect balance of the amino acids, all 21, including GLA, which is found in only one other plant. This plant mimics breast milk, the closest thing to breast milk that's on our planet. And people should be eating it for nutritional value. So when I leave this earth, I want people to be growing it in their backyard and eating it just like they do celery juice and kale juice in the morning. That's really what my mission and what the legacy is that I see people need to be doing.
What a mission it is. And you couldn't be more right. And I just love that you brought up mother's milk, because it's always one whenever I'm trying to talk about the endocannabinoid system and relate to people about how our body naturally produces cannabinoids, you know, breast milk being the easiest one for people to kind of wrap their heads around. You know, I love how we should just be, we should be calling it a milk high, not a milk drunk, because that's exactly what that baby's doing right there.
Mm-hmm. And I have a 4-month-old that's, I see that milk high every morning, and right? It's cannabinoids right that are in there. Our bodies make, you know, THC in the form of anandamide, and as well as CBD's 2-AG. So I know that's what I mean. There's so much confusion. There's so much misinformation. Yeah. And there's so much great education that's out there. I also work with Chloe Villano. I head off her hemp school out there at Cloverleaf University. And we're going to be teaching classes, teaching people how to understand this plant and even get into the business if they want.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So, you know, it's so funny because to me, acidic cannabinoids, I was lucky enough to work for Fiddler's Greens about 2 years ago, and that was their main focus was raw cannabinoids, THCA, CBDA. And it really just opened up my eyes to just a whole slew of different modalities and use cases of how, you know, cannabis or cannabinoids can help someone. But even more importantly, just this whole idea of being able to take more cannabinoids in a form that's not going to result in you getting even more high. And so, you know, that's been the interesting kind of shift in my mind. And I remember it even took me a couple weeks to really get it, even when I worked for the company. You know, it's like, oh, okay, well, so, okay, I can take this instead of Tylenol. Okay, great. That's wonderful. I don't want to take Tylenol. So, well, great. If that's going to be the case, you are going to have to look at how your dose and how much you take to make it have that same effect as taking Tylenol. So I think there's a, you know, there is a little bit of playing around with it, but at the same time, I've been able to find my dose in terms of THCA to deal with a headache or pain or whatever it might be. And, you know, I just love that we're bringing that to the masses. And furthermore, it's so funny, you know, whenever I would talk to someone and price point would be an issue, the thing I always said to them was, you know, if price point's an issue, I totally understand where you're coming from. You know, do you have access to a lot of flower? And a lot of them would say, oh yeah, I grow it. Or, you know, I have a friend who does. And I said, great. Ask them if you can take some of their trim or even some of their material and just soak it in hemp oil. Or if you don't have hemp oil, olive oil, and just soak it and let it soak for like 2 weeks and then strain it off, and you've got some THCA or some THCA CBDA. So I highly recommend that for people. And it's just, it's got a really interesting use case. And I love that you guys kind of focus on that at 101 CBD so people can find some more information about it.
Absolutely. And I was probably, I could count on one hand the number of people that understood what I was just talking about. You know, William Courtney, I knew Fiddler's Greens before, and they were in the A's, which is great. They were at that same conference in 2019. They had a booth next to us. And so I love what they're about with the THCA. And we have to figure out all of these cannabinoids. And again, you know, if just think of the plant like it was an herb, and we have lots of herbalists that are on Clubhouse, and they're asking all these questions about cannabis and things. And I'm like, look, you're an herbalist. You're a master herbalist. It's another herb. Just use it like you would anything else. And it's the whole plant raw aspects of the herb. And so that's the thing. And people need to experiment with it. And so, like I said, if you want to get healthy, we always kind of, our line is, look, if you want to get healthy, eat it. If you want to get high, heat it. And and that's really how it comes down to, because look, this is a beautiful plant. And it has so much going on it nutritionally that supplements our endocannabinoid system, that we should all be consuming, you know, at least 100 milligrams worth. You know, just throwing a couple of buds in your juice in the morning, you can pick them and harvest them and throw them in your freezer, or you can fresh them, you know, freshly clip them and put them in your juicer as well. I recommend the Omega juicer, and we should all be doing it. I mean, it's incredible. Like I said, Dr. Ethan Russo Google it. Dr. Ethan Russo has already shown it's called the endocannabinoid deficiency syndrome. Basically, all ailments and illnesses can be linked to a lack of cannabinoids. We used to get our cannabinoids through our livestock. They used to feed hemp to the chickens and the cows and the pigs. And they were even showing that there's research that when you're feeding hemp to a chicken, that you can get 120 milligrams of CBD by consuming that egg. So we were basically devoid of this plant for the last 80 years because they made it illegal to grow hemp, which was total BS when they passed that 1937 Marijuana Tax Act. And the crazy thing was in the World War II, when we needed hemp, the government got up to 1 million acres of farmers to grow hemp when they needed it for the Navy and for the rope and the sails and everything they were to win the World War II. But as soon as the war was over, they made it illegal again. So what does that tell you? I mean, look, it's big business at its worst. These are petroleum-based companies that make paint, that make plastic, that make batteries. It's all based on petroleum. And now the word is out. The next movement in hemp is going to be fiber. And so there's a lot of us that are out there that are collaborating at NoCo coming up in March that are we're gonna be able to take the herd or the inside part of the stock, and that can be made into biodegradable, sustainable plastics. So we can really tackle the plastic issues that we have. We can make a plant that we can grow three times in 1 year and use to make paper instead of, you know, trees take 20 or 25 years to grow. You know, we can make batteries that are 8 times more powerful than lithium out of this hemp plant and the graphene that comes from it. So it's just incredible. I'm wearing hemp shoes right now from 8,000 Kicks. I'm wearing hemp underwear from WAMA, WAMA. I mean, at the end of the day, if you believe in this plant, and if this plant has done something for you or your family, then support the plant. And look, it's going to cost a little bit more right now, but buy it anyways, because us in this space need the infusion of capital so we can build these hemp refineries. It's going to cost us about $5 to $8 million to build one. I'm working with Doug Fine, who's the American hemp farmer author. He's a great guy. I'm working with a lot of farmers out there so that when they harvest their crops, that we'll put all of the stocks in one place. We'll come by, pick them up like a hay bale, and then we'll make some plastics and we'll make some papers and some clothes and some batteries and some hempcrete and all that good stuff with a sustainable, renewable product, just like bamboo and things like that. We have to get away from the plastics. We are the problem right now. We talk about a virus in our country right now. We're the virus on this country, on this planet, because we're the ones that are toxifying this planet and spraying pesticides in the soil, and it's getting in the water and the air and the things that we eat. So, you know, like Doug Fine always likes to say, we're in the bottom of the ninth inning here to save this planet and to turn it around. And so we all need to make sure that we're making conscious decisions about what we do and that we're supporting things that are sustainable for the earth.
Absolutely. And, you know, it reminds me of a lot of people. The first person that comes to mind is Rye Russell, you know, doing Not Plastics out there in Maine and just really educating people about the opportunities within bioplastics, hemp bioplastics specifically. And, you know, I just love that you also see Patagonia doing research on hemp herd and its use case for textiles and clothing. You know, I love that we've all kind of gotten to the stage. When I came into the industry in 2017, I was working for Canacraft, and you know, it was just so interesting to go into the testing and seeing them testing for glyphosate and all these different things, and talking about how polyglycol, you know, how just the influences of these things that have been created that are the walls between us getting over that wall and creating products that are sustainable and regenerative, that are going to make this planet a better place to be and deal with these environmental impacts that we're making. And instead of making a negative impact, making it a positive impact in the world. And, you know, it's just so great to see all of these different businesses coming up with their own business within the hemp and cannabis industry that are going to support these needs and use cases. And I think we're there. You know, I think places like Clubhouse are the place where you start figuring out there are a lot of people with the same intention and drive and focus and going towards the same goals. And the more we can all come together and say that out loud and to find the people who are in our corner that want to join forces, the better off we're going to be. But I really feel at this moment in time, there's nothing really stopping us.
Nope. I mean, like Clubhouse was, it's like they took the governor off the golf cart. I mean, it's wide open. We're just absolutely, for those that are on a mission to heal the world, and that's our mission, for those of us that are on a mission to make a difference and really help humanity and help this planet, it's on. I mean, and so many of us have figured out that this plant is a big part of the solution, whether it's for medicine. And that's the crazy thing. So people will come into one of our stores out here. We have one in Denver and a couple out here in California, and they will come into our stores and they'll be looking for pain relief, right? Or anxiety. Those are the big ones. And then they'll come back and they'll be like this different person. They'll have this aura around them and they'll just be smiling. And sometimes you won't even recognize them. But the crazy thing is that it opens up, it empowers themselves to take their health back. They're the one in control, not somebody with a white jacket giving them some pills and some side effects that they have to deal with. But they're like, well, wait a second, if I take an oil that's made basically like plant juice, what else could I do for myself? Maybe I should take that 20-minute walk in the morning. Maybe I should drink, you know, my body weight divided by 2 ounces every day. Maybe I should, you know, be real mindful of the things that I'm eating and cut out the processed foods and cut out the refined sugars. Well, maybe I should, you know, be mindful and intentional and think about, you know, meditation or thinking about what I'm putting into my mind and things of that nature. And what if I could get a good night's sleep for 7 hours? And that's that holistic people. And maybe I should do some yoga and all of these things. It's kind of like we all know what we need to do. And CBD, I've seen it as a way for people to take it and kind of like remind ourselves to get back in touch with nature and get back in touch with plants.
It is the ultimate gateway, but it's not a gateway in the bad way. It's a gateway to seeing how you can change one aspect of your life and stop taking pharmaceutical drugs and replace it with plant medicine, and you see that effect and the change it makes in your body, and then you say, oh my God, what else can I change within my daily regimen that could make that type of impact, which is just so powerful. And then I know for myself, and it sounds like for you too, Justin, it's like, okay, now I found something so powerful with this plant and I've gotten such a benefit from it, I've got to grow this myself. This has got to be the next thing that I get into, because then you're really taking control of your health and your well-being and your future by taking your own hands. And so that really was kind of the main vehicle for me to start growing cannabis. You know, first it was very much so, I'm not going to be able to afford the amount of cannabis I'm going to need on a yearly basis from a dispensary or a retail outlet. So to make it so I can consume as much as I need to, I'm going to have to start growing it. And, you know, that was the starting point for me. And it's, I just love hearing other people's experiences with growing. And then I guess the next question I always got to ask is, what tips do you have for that starting grower who might have been in the same position you and I were in years past?
Well, for me, the first thing always comes down to the seeds, right? So what are you looking to get out of the cannabis experience? Are you looking to get healthy? Are you looking for the recreational or the sacramental reasons for cannabis? So that's the first thing you want to do. So for me, my cannabinoid is CBDA. Love it all day long. I tend to run a little hot. So the CBDA helps me relax and find homeostasis and balance. So that's what I love. So all of the plants that I grow are CBDA, or right now we call it hemp in our country, anything less than 0.3 THC, which we'll get down to 1% or below here soon enough, hopefully by the next farm bill. So that's the first thing you want to do. Find some good seeds. If you're looking for some THCA, or if you're looking for the balance of THCA and CBDA, find that strain that works for you. If you're looking for high CBDA, like I said, you can reach out to us and we'll send you free seeds and teach you how to do it. If you're looking for THCA, there's lots of places out there that you can get that. If you live in a legal state, it's a little bit easier. You can even get some clones from some dispensaries, which is a real simple way to get started. But first thing you start off with either a clone or a seed. And then if you're going to grow indoor or outdoor, those are the next decisions. I'm an outdoor person. You can get pretty wild and crazy with indoor stuff. If you've got a little bit of money, you certainly can dial that in with hydroponic and things of that nature. So those are kind of the basics that you need to figure out. If you're going to try and do it on the cheap, then I would get some hemp seeds, certified CBD hemp seeds, and then just put them in your garden. For me, I like to just throw them in some water. I use Fiji water just because I love Fiji water. I think it's the best. You don't want to use tap water if you can. It's got a bunch of junk in it, so you want to stay away from that. The next best thing would be reverse osmosis that I would recommend that you use. So then you can put that seed in water overnight, or for 2 nights, you'll see a little tap root pop out. Once you see that little taproot pop out, that means you're going to plant that seed down where the taproot is, so the white taproot down, and put that either in rock wool or soil, depending upon what you're using as a medium. And then cover up just a barely teeny, any, maybe a fourth of an inch of dirt, and then just make sure the soil is has got some water in it, and away you go. After a few days, that little seedling should pop up, two little leaves pop up, and just make sure you don't overwater it. I would water every 2 to 3 days. Most people, that one of the things that a lot of novice farmers will do is overwater. You need to let those seed or those roots grow the way they want, and then as it gets a little bit taller, you can maybe after a few weeks, you can start looking at some real basic nutrients that you can get from your local nursery, like an NAB. So the one would be similar for like an organic vegetation. So when that plant is growing for those first, month or two, it's in that vegetation stage. So that's when it's, now again, we're going to have to pay attention to light a little bit. We can talk about that in another episode. But so while it's in vegetation, you're giving it a little bit of nutrients. If you're using reverse osmosis water, you want to make sure you put some calcium, magnesium, because it'll get pulled out when that does that reverse osmosis. And that's really it. You're going to need to make sure it's supported. You might need to put a wooden stick on it with like a little garbage bag tied to make sure that the plant's growing upright, doesn't get blown over. You also can, I like to grow it in gardens with other things like green beans or other types of cabbage or things. Just put it in your garden. That way, some of the little bugs, the spider mites or the little caterpillars that always tend to love our plants, they will actually gravitate towards those other plants, and they'll be, attacking your green beans, which is fine, right? Attack the green beans, leave the cannabis alone. And that's it. And then after the sun starts to switch over, after June 21st and it starts to, the days get shorter, then the cannabis flower will go from vegetation to flower. And so that's when you might switch your nutrients up and for more of a flowering stage. Again, always organic nutrients. You also can use, they've been certified with organic neem oil to keep some of those little boogers off as well. Ladybugs are great. Green lace eggs are great as well. So they're actually bugs out there that will eat off all those little bad, the caterpillars, the spider mites. Those are usually the ones that are the troublemakers for the plant. And when it depends upon when you want to harvest those trichomes. For us with the CBD game, we tend to harvest a little early. When the trichomes are clear to half milky, that way we always have to watch out for that 0.3% THC. If you're growing the cannabis with high THC, then when you harvest has a lot more to do with the high than the genetics, believe it or not, with the sativa and the indica. If you're looking for more of a heady high, then you harvest a little bit earlier as those are trichomes are clear to milky. If you're looking for more of that couch lock indica, then you go till those trichomes go a little bit more amber, and that will give you the effects of the couch lock. So that's my 101 on growing hemp or cannabis in your backyard.
Whew, that was great. That was a perfect elevator pitch to tell someone what they're going to get themselves into. Couldn't agree with you more in terms of using green lace wings. They have been a fantastic addition to my integrated pest management. One thing I always like to tell people, specifically if they just listen to this podcast and your great explanation of the process you're going to go through, the one addition I always like to put in there is compost tea. And if you don't have access to compost tea that's already finished, I actually have a really great source here. Terravesco is a verma compost extract and just filled with tons of microbes. So the idea being that the more microbes you add to your system, the more living soil you're going to have. The better living soil you have, the better your plants, the more flavor, cannabinoids, terpenes, and everything that's going to be present. So that's definitely been my modality of growing, is from a very living soil type of starting place. And it's just been a wonderful experience. And then I think the other thing I always love to throw in there, I've been attacked by caterpillars in the past couple of years. This year, I'm actually going to be incorporating using mosquito netting or some type of netting. When you flip into that flower stage, that's when you really need to protect your plants from any type of moths or butterflies that might come and lay eggs. So that's definitely a good addition that I'm going to be using this year, and think it should help anyone in their garden.
And also, I would throw in there, those are great, great pieces of advice. I would throw in, if you're going to use like a potter's bag or a garden bag with the handles or things like that, there's some good soil out there. There's the 420 recipe that a lot of people like, the organic soil that you can get. And I think that's made by G&B as well. So if you're going to use it in your garden, like a little garden box that you have, then, make sure that you've got some good topsoil in there. And if you're using composting with like real fruits and vegetables, that's always a great one as well, if you have some of that. If you're making your own compost. And yeah, so you want to make sure that soil's good. You want to make sure everything you're using is organic, and get your hands in that dirt. It's good for your soul to get in there and get your hands dirty. And I tend my garden probably an hour every day. I go out to the farms and you know, out here in California, we're lucky that we can get three or four harvests outside with a little bit of greenhouse and a little bit of indoor mixed lighting, three or four grows a year. So it's great. I highly recommend everybody. This is, the spring's coming up. It's a perfect time to plant some cannabis in your backyard.
Yeah, I actually just had Nat Pennington on the show from Humboldt Seed Company, and he actually blew my mind. He basically was saying, you know, I've had so many times where I'm messing with lighting because of the time I get the plant, or, you know, I've started it inside and then moved it outside. Then I have to worry about, okay, did it get enough light, or am I going to have to control this until I get to the flowering cycle? And it became a lot of a headache. And he had just the most perfect, succinct answer for me. He said, Charlie, if you plant that seed in soil outside, protect it a little bit so it's not, you know, totally open to anything, to the environment, but, you know, put a little structure on it around it so it's still getting sun and everything it needs, but not completely, you know, to hail or rain or whatever it might be. And that thing will know the right photo period to do for veg and when to flip to flower. It knows all of it. So that was something that resonated with me and something that really just made a lot of sense. Seeds know when to grow and when to veg and when to flower. So just do it naturally and it can solve a lot of headaches.
Exactly.
Right on. Well, so you're growing a lot of CBDA. So what's in the head stash these days?
As far as what now?
What do you kind of have that you grew last year that you're smoking on or juicing on these days? Like, do you have a specific genetic that you're kind of loving these days?
Yeah, you know, we've definitely been trying our own genetics. So we've been definitely working with the IP and getting all those kinds of things. Really, for us, it's all about a big thing that people are starting to understand is terpenes. So you need to figure out what terpene profile works for you, whether it's for pain or, you know, if it's for anxiety or sleep. So we're just always dialing and messing around. Like I said, one of the big breakthroughs for us was the CBGA. So we've been growing some CBGA. We use that in one of our products, the Boost one. And I've noticed the CBGA is more focusing, more mental clarity, a little mental energy. That's not my cannabinoid for me. I'm pretty good on that one. CBDA is always going to be my love. So I'm always staying with the highest possible CBDA. We're just kind of going back and forth with, you know, varieties of understanding which terpenes. And, you know, we do have some nice smokable hemp too. We don't sell it. It's not really our brand, per se. But we do, if you ever want some, when harvest season comes around, you can just come by one of our stores, and especially the one up in Ojai, and we'll just give you some for free when you get a product of some oils or topicals and you know, do your thing, you know, and so that's the big thing for us right now, as far as which products. I'm a CBDA guy all the way.
Right on. So do you have a specific terpene that kind of, or, you know, a cultivar or a terpene that's good, that's kind of rich in one way that you've kind of been leaning towards, or is it just CBDA is what you need in any form or fashion?
Well, again, so of course, if it's for me, you know, I like the lavender tones of the lanolin and things of that nature. If it's myrcene or beta carotene, just depends. Like, so we have an Alleviate X product as well. So those ones will be more in the terpenes that we're growing that are more for the pain relief and the inflammation. And then we have a chill product that's more for that relaxation. And so for those types of terpenes. So, and then, you know, we haven't even gotten into flavonoids yet, which I think is going to be great as we start to understand those as well. So my firm belief is that we're going to have in the next year or two, we're going to have genetics that are specifically grown for specific ailments. And then after that, I believe in the next couple of years, we're going to be able to kind of understand DNA genomes and all the DNA codes of our individual bodies. And we're going to be able to grow cannabis plants based on what our DNA profile says. So you're going to be able to have a plant that's really meant for you in genetics that you can grow in your backyard. And it'll be perfect to supplement your endocannabinoid system. So lots of fun ingenuity coming.
I can't wait for that. You know, I think we're so close. I mean, you know, there's already some places that can help you out in terms of doing testing on your endocannabinoid system. And they can kind of tell you where your deficiencies might lie or what to stay away from, which is really incredible. And I just can't wait to see how that evolves over the next 3 to 5 years. Growing up here in the Napa Valley and having a lot of friends who have some premium wineries, it's just so interesting to hear hear the way they talk about growing grapes to make their wine. And I love that we're kind of continuing on that conversation. But just, you know, the whole idea of flavonoids and phenols and these things that we really haven't been paying attention to in the cannabis space, which are actually the main indicators for growers in terms of harvesting and where the grape is going in terms of how they're going to blend it and process it. So I find that I think we're going to see that as well in terms of plants and productivity and harvesting. You know, I think we'll start looking at the bricks of the plant and all these different indicators of, you know, quality that we've used in winemaking. And I think that's going to transfer over to cannabis, which is going to be just super exciting.
Yeah, I can't wait. Well, I got to throw the question back at you. What kind of varieties or cultivars are you liking these days?
I'm glad you asked, my man. I am in love with a new CBD strain I grew last year called Mama's Boy. It's made by Patrick King of Seed to Soul. He was nice enough to give me some cuttings last year. And this thing is just, it's about like a 20-to-1, but the terpene profile on it is just fabulous. So I can use it for, you know, daily smoking, which is my favorite way of consumption. But then I also know I need to kind of have things more medicinal for that CBDA. So I do also have it in an oil form. And then for more of my kind of just far out cannabis growing, I have a Romulan strain that I grew last year that is just the most knock your socks off. Just if you smoke it, you better be close to bed because 15 to 20 minutes later, you are going to sleep. So night. So it's just been fabulous. And so, yeah, basically my process over the last 3 years has been to curate basically 6 different cultivars that are going to help me myself and family with any type of ailment that might come our way. So by doing that, I have a high CBD, I have a 1-to-1 plant, and then I have some, you know, what would be considered a more, you know, thin leaf or sativa style that's going to be more energetic. And then I'm going to have some that are going to be more broadleaf indica driven, which are going to be my Romulans to help me go to bed. So I've been kind of curating it that way, you know, using my 6 plants to my advantage to kind of get that full array of what cannabis has to offer. So it's been super fun.
That's awesome. So I think I was telling you earlier, I had Dr. Lakeisha on our Miracle Plant podcast. It's actually coming out tomorrow. And she is living in Jamaica now. She was out here in California forever and was part of the movement to get cannabis legal. And she's been smoking out of these Jamaican chalices. And so they're like these coconut chalices, and it uses like the heat from like charcoal underneath in this chalice. It's got like a long bamboo stick that you smoke out of. So it doesn't actually burn the plant. It basically like steams the plant.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it's an old school, very sacramental. She's a Rastafarian now. And I can't wait to go down there and hang out with her and check these chalices out. So again, if you're looking for that true experience of really getting all of the plant and getting all of the terpenes and flavonoids and cannabinoids without like, you know, mucking it up and burning the plant, I would check it out. You can go to her website. She actually has them at drlakeisha.com. Check them out. You can buy one.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I actually have a volcano. So that's been my newest toy from Christmas time. You know, basically, I just need to help my lungs out. You know, I love smoking so much, but, you know, it can really start to wear on my lungs. And, you know, I need to take advice from all these wonderful people that I listen to in terms of just helping my health out more. And I love it. It actually has made an experience where I can really, you know, get the nuances and taste more of the terpenes and flavor of the cannabis. So it's just been a lot of fun. I'd love to switch gears and hear a little bit more about 101 CBD and just the products you have and the cannabinoid profiles of them. It sounds like you got some exciting stuff, so I can't wait to hear more.
Yeah, I mean, just real basic. We keep it simple. We're all about health here and, you know, health and wellness. So we have a tincture that's called Alleviate. It's got high CBDA in it. It's 800 milligrams of CBDA. It's whole plant raw, so that all of the other cannabinoids that are naturally occurring, CBGA, CBCA, and what have you, are there. We also infuse a little bit of organic passion flower, which is a purple flower that's like a chamomile tea. We use hemp seed oil as our organic hemp seed oil as our carrier oil. And we have a little cold pressed stevia for sweetness, 0 calorie, good for you. It's just a plant. And then we have a boost that, like I said, has a little bit more of that CBGA profile in the cannabinoid. We put a little American ginseng in there as well to give you that little spark for the morning or for that late afternoon kind of sluggish feeling we get after lunch. People also use it for exercise. And then we have a chill, the Alleviate has the white willow bark, which helps with pain and inflammation. The chill has the passion flower, which helps with the anxiety, and people take it before bedtime. And then we just have a couple topicals. One's a raw relief that you roll on. It's got a bunch of great essential oils and shea butter. We are using that one is going up to 1,000 milligrams. It's really great for pain relief. We have one called Raw Renew, which is great for any kind of skin irritations. It's great to balance the skin. Women love it for like their face. They put it on their skin and it really helps the skin find that balance and its anti-aging properties. And then we have like a roll-on that you use for pain. And then we have a dog one, you know, it's a vegan flavored bacon that's a high CBDA. And that's it. We don't have a lot of products. We keep it real simple. Most people come for pain, anxiety, or sleep. And then after that, we also, for people that are battling something that's severe, like Parkinson's or cancer, we have higher milligrams, which is just straight CBD oil, so CBDA oil. So you're looking at like 1,600 milligrams and 3,200 milligrams. We have a compassion program. It's half off for life. If you reach out to me, I'll send you one for free, or reach out to the website as well. We have, you just pay shipping and handling, and we'll send you some to try. We've been with Clubhouse. We've sent out over 2,000 products in the last 40 days because there's so many people out there that are suffering needlessly, whether it's, you know, ADHD or parents of children with autism or cancer and things of that nature. So we're .org. We're here to pay it forward and just try it and open up your eyes. And you get half off for life if there's any complex ailments. And so, yeah, it's all about paying it forward. If you want seeds, put it in the notes at checkout. We'll put some seeds in there. And our goal is to reach 1 billion people by 2025, be it by videos, education, products, seeds. We really are all about paying it forward. And thanks for having us on. And it's really great to get to know you. And I'm sure I can't wait to meet you in person. We're in the same state here. Thanks to Clubhouse. It's been amazing. Yeah, we have we grow some on our own. And then we also work with some local farmers out here in Ventura County. So we have a little co-op. There's about 43 of us farmers out here in Ventura County. So we all kind of support each other and try each other's products and whatever, whenever, like if we get a big international order, then we might need to source a little bit extra to go through our extraction. So we grow and we work with other farmers that grow and we keep everything local. So we use all the products out here for California, for all of our stores primarily, but like for in Denver, when the season comes up for Denver, we'll use local products out there in Denver as well to make sure we're supporting the community because we're always about supporting the community as best we can. So wherever we are, we want to make sure that local farmer to help them out as best we can.
That is just fantastic. And Justin, I just have to say one more time, I just love your intention and I just commend you so much for creating 101 CBD. And I love how you're living up to your name. You're giving this to people who are in need and really creating an organization that is going to help anyone, regardless if they can afford it or not, and just open their eyes to the power of the plant. So thank you so much for everything you've done and for your time today. It really has been fun just to get to know you more and help our listeners and myself understand acidic cannabinoids and the power of the plant. So thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's been a real pleasure. Like I said, I do look forward to seeing you soon at a conference or whenever we start traveling again. I got a good feeling springtime, things are going to really start opening up again. And this whole economy is going to bounce back. People are going to support their local businesses and their community and going out to eat and traveling. And it's just going to be like a reawakening for this whole country and this whole world. And I can't wait to be a part of it. Can you imagine going to a ball game and going to a concert for the first time and seeing people and hanging out? All that's coming. So just great times ahead. 2021 is going to be a fantastic year.
That's it. You put a huge smile on my face saying that. So I couldn't agree with you more. It's going to be wonderful. And I just can't wait to have that camaraderie of like-minded people like yourself and us all getting together. But until then, we'll just get on Clubhouse and keep spreading the message. So thank you so much for your time today. And it was just a blast talking with you.
Absolutely. See you in another room soon on Clubhouse, as I always say.
Exactly. Right on, everyone. Well, this has been No Grow Create with me, Charlie Krebs. Thank you so much for your time, and I can't wait to have you on soon for the next show. Have a great day, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
99.9% of our DNA is identical. It's a 0.1% that truly makes us different and unique. And that's what the show is about. Find out that 0.1% about your favorite guests. Find out what music they like, their first cannabis experience, and even what their room looked like growing up. But more importantly, or as important, their journey. Learn what makes them unique on Everything Is Personal.